Bibles this morning, that turn with me to the book of Ephesians. We've had a series of outlines on this study, and we only went through one. It's called Peace with God and Peace of God, part two. The word peace is in the Bible from the Greek word, refers to a mental attitude of tranquility based on a relationship with God. Those who suffer from peace, real peace, I can't imagine living in this world with everything's going on without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. But the Bible uses peace in two ways, and that's just a few review here from the last time we studied this. There is a personal peace with God, which comes when a person accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior. Then there is the peace of God which is available on a daily basis as the believer, now listen, participates in the Christian way of life according to the plan of God. That simply means if we walk in His will, seek His guidance each day, we'll have a life of peace a lot more than those who do not. So Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14, "For He is our peace, who have made both one and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make Himself a twain, one new man, so making peace." We see in verse 16, "And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." And then our last verse, 17, "And came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh." God offers peace to His children, and we should thank God for that. We are to take advantage to keep our lives in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can have that peace that the world knows nothing about. God says here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Verse 7 here in 2 Timothy is so important. You know, we don't expect the lost world. We don't expect some Christian that is out of His will. But God says very clearly here in the 7th verse of 2 Timothy, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." So if we live in fear, you know, it's our relationship to God is being hindered, but of the power of love and of a sound mind. Now, peace with God is peace in salvation. I can't imagine myself, and not brag, it's just the way I'm made, very few things cause fear to come upon myself, because I believe very strongly, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And so, you know, do I want to die? No. You know, I was talking to a person yesterday, and I said, you know, he asked me about death. I said, well, I just want to live until all my enemies are under, so you know I'll live a long, long time. And because the world is your enemy, whether you agree with it or not, or whether you understand it or not. Even though they may say that I'm your friend and we're buddies and all that good worldly talk, but God tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we're justified by what we believe. Now, that's very important. I didn't bring that out the first lesson. But, you know, when we look, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace. So what you believe, so, you know, you're a Christian, but yet you don't believe in eternal security to the blood-bought believer, you can't have the peace that a person does that believes in eternal security. You know, don't make any difference what shape I may be in, I may be healthy. When I die, I'm going to heaven. Know that. Practice believing that. Don't mind telling anybody that. But that peace of God will change our life. If you've ever been out of God's will, and I've been saved a long time, but I've been out of God's will. And it's a miserable place to be. If you're truly saved, it's a miserable place to be. And you say, well, I'm saved. Of course you are. If you're once saved, you're always saved. But God tells us here in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, by what you believe, you act. Your life is based upon what you believe. If you don't believe truth, then you're going to have a lot of situations in your life that will affect you. So this peace with God and peace of God. You know, a lot of people tell me, well, I got peace with God. You know I'm saved. If I die, I'm going to heaven. But we still live in a world where we are miserable because we don't fully understand not only is Jesus gives the soul when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, but that day-to-day peace comes when we live for him. No matter what situation, if you're saved, God never leaves you. The only thing that's left is our ability to realize that the Holy Spirit lives in me, and if that Holy Spirit ever leaves you, you would be lost. I mean, that's beginning to be more and more every day, one of my favorite verses, you know, when Christ said, it's expedient that I go away. If I don't go away, the Spirit won't come. We would be a miserable Christian if the Spirit of God was not living in us. Matter of fact, you could not have eternal security if the Spirit of God was not in you, because this body, and I think most people, hopefully all people would agree with that, this body is our enemy. And this body gets excited over a lot of things. We worry over a lot of things. And that's because we're human. But, you know, God does all things well. So God in grace removes the barrier and makes peace between man and God. I mean, it's wonderful for me to say, or you to say, you know, I'm sure I've got enemies, but I don't know who they are. You know, I'm a peaceful person, and I get along with everybody. You know, and that's good. But as I was talking to a lady yesterday, you know, how can you know that you have eternal security, the blood-bought believer? How can you know that? I believe that if you're not living in his will, it's something you just memorize. It's a scripture that we learn and we're thankful for it. But to really believe and know that I'm saved, I've got to have a personal relationship with God. And it's not just on Sunday. It's not just on Wednesday. It's 24/7, 7 days a week. And when we get all tore up, why is this happening to me? We've got to lean back to Scripture. It's happening to me because God knew I needed it. You wouldn't appreciate the good times if you didn't have bad times. And you would never appreciate your health if you was never sick. Well, God tells us that in Ephesians chapter 2, notice with me, please. Book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14. God says this, "For he is our peace, who have made both one and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us, have abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace." Now, if you can just get yourself a little insight on what we just read here, real peace, you've got to know Christ as your Lord and Savior. If not, you will let the circumstances completely control you. Does circumstances affect you? Sure. You know, anytime that you have someone that you love that is facing surgery or illness or, I mean, any of those type things, we're still in the flesh. And the flesh will control us if we let it. But when we have peace with God, that's knowing I'm saved, believing I'm saved. Now, the second part is peace of God. That's living out really what we believe that we have in us. Now, God says in verse 16 of Ephesians, you know, when we read Ephesians chapter 2, he says, "And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have" what? "Access by one Spirit unto the Father." We could not access the cross. We could not talk to the Father. That's why Jesus said it is expedient, it's necessary that I go. Because if I don't go, the Spirit won't come. So every one of us that in this building and everybody saved worldwide, they have the Spirit of God living in us. Now, how do you know that? I'm sure I'm not the only one that done something sometime knowing it was wrong. He said, "I haven't ever." Really? You're a very special person. But this body controls us unless we're walking in the Spirit. So, you know, especially here in Ephesians 2:14, which we read, for he is our peace. Peace is not who we are, what we have, where we live, how much money we got. I mean, all those things are good. But have you noticed in the past few years how many millionaires and rich people killed themselves? It's, you know. Same lady I met a moment ago, she said, well, you know, I wouldn't want to be a millionaire. I said, well, I tell you what, you become one, then you give it to me. Because I believe that a child of God in his will can handle any situation. Is that not what he said in verse 14? He is our peace. Our peace is not in what we have. It's in Christ. Peace in the Christian way of life. See, when you're in his will, when you're living in his will, you cannot be 100% happy nor 100% contented when you're not walking in his way. It's impossible. It's utterly impossible. Now, God says that peace in the Christian way of life, in our lifetime, we can experience peace on a daily basis when the believer responds by faith to grace. God provides many blessings which can result in a great inner happiness. I don't know anybody else, but when I struggle with a passage to know what it is saying exactly, and I read it as I normally do, I pray about it, and God may not show that to me right at that time. But when he does show it to me, you're talking about a gift from God. Because the only way any of us understand the Word of God is from the Spirit of God. So I never get excited on how much somebody knows. I get excited in how much they understand. Because knowledge without wisdom will destroy you. How do we know? When a person says, I believe, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I don't have to do this, I don't have to do this, and they list all of those things. No, you don't have to do anything. And a beautiful example of that is that if you love somebody, you don't have to do certain things, but you will do certain things. Love is always active. Love is not passive. So God tells us in the book of Isaiah, notice with me, in the book of Isaiah, when we study Isaiah 26, just a verse or two here, and it's good for you to see it. God said in Isaiah 26, verse 3, God said, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. In other words, when I am in his will, I'm at peace with self. So when I'm distraught or unhappy with my circumstances, I believe the start of changing those is found here in Isaiah 26, you know, verse 3 and 4. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Perfect peace. whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. See, when we don't keep perfect peace, the body will control your emotions. The body will control your feelings. But he says in verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord, Jehovah is everlasting strength. How can I have peace? I'm dependent on God, not me. I don't know about anybody else, but me lets me down a lot. Only when I'm dependent on him. And how does he tell me what to do? How does he tell me how to act? You know. I'm going through some recipes, my favorite recipes that my wife used to make. She probably thought about it before she made it, but, you know, so I got that recipe out, and I said, you know, thought of foods, and I said, you know, it can't be too hard, you know, because she made it look so easy. I burned it up 3 times until I decided I don't really like this dish. That's what we do with the Word of God. We read it, and the Word of God tells us to do this and do that. Well, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. And I may be missing out on some blessings, but, you know, at least I'm saved. But those blessings is what somebody may see in you, and that was what caused them to begin to trust in him even more. We major about looking on lost people. You know, we catch everything that a worldly Christian is doing. But how little do we have a desire to walk in his peace? Better than any nerve pill, better than anything you can take, is to know that I'm doing what I believe the Bible teaches me as a individual, as a child of God. When you walk in the Word, you have a pretty good peace in your life. Now, in the Christian way of life, peace comes through fellowship with God and daily growth. I think it's good, you know, I drove through a lot of mental exercises, and I can't take medicine. I'm thankful. I take a lot of, you know, medicine, but it's not the kind that would affect control your mind. But it's peace comes through fellowship with God and daily growth. Advancement in spiritual things, which brings you to a stability, a relaxed mental attitude, orientation to the plan of God. When I was at IBM, we had to go through a lot of orientations. New product, knew this, knew that. We would spend time being oriented in that, know how to approach it, how to do it. The Word of God is the same. You know, it's a new Christian not ready for certain books in the Bible. And that's why that, you know, I've done this for years. I was taught this from my pastor. If you're nearly saved, you need to read the book of John. When you get the book of John read, you need to go to the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, read that, then you're ready to read or study whatever you want. And I've had people say, that's a bunch of, you know what, they don't work for me. Well, there's difference between reading for knowledge, reading for facts, or reading to be blessed. And if you never read such to be blessed, you missed out on a wonderful situation that God can help us with. So we need a relaxed attitude, orientation of the plan of God, corruption with Christ, and the ability to employ faithness principles in all areas of your life. Every decision, if you want to be happy and grow, must be a Bible-based decision. Now, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. When we look in the Word of God and we let the Lord bless us, you know, we know that there's somebody texted me and said, whose phone is going off all the time? I said, oh, probably mine. You know. And see, that satisfied that person for a moment because, you know, hey, now I ought to take my phone and turn it off, leave it in the car or something. But not been able to do that because I believe I ought to be ready 24/7. Now, that's not in my notes, but I thought maybe it's needed. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. God said, be careful for nothing. What does that mean? Don't worry about nothing. Don't worry about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Do we let God know first, which he already knows, but do we inform God, Lord, I need to be drawn closer to you. I will still have problems, Henrietta, but the problems won't have me. And that's a lesson that will change your life. Because we're always going to have problems. But God said here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, as we read, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. It doesn't mean to be scatterbrained. It doesn't mean not to care. It doesn't mean not to plan. But we don't worry about anything because God is letting it happen for a reason. Notice, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Let me ask you, do you pray about everything? Or do you just pray when you need something? Have you ever just got up one morning and nothing is hurting you and you just pray and thank God for it? You thank God that you have a house, a place to live, whether you only rent it or whatever, because there's millions that don't. What are you headed toward? Well, God tells us, said, you know, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's what he says in 4:4. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Notice this verse. The peace of God. When you have the peace of God, you realize you don't like it, but God knows about it. He's permitting it. He can stop it. So we need to learn from it. You know what? If we don't learn, we'll do it again. God does not give up like I did on the recipe. See, if I really want that recipe, I may go home this afternoon and try it all over again. I don't plan to, but I might. But God does when he has a will for your life. He doesn't give up. He'll put you in a condition and place where you look up. That's where contentment comes from. God said, be careful for nothing. That means don't worry about anything. It doesn't mean not caring. It does not mean preparing. We used to have a member, you know, first name was Gene. He hid it by wood, and he waited till the first snowfall almost before he started gathering in wood. I never did understand that. Because it's much easier to gather wood when it's dry. It's much easier to do those things. But all the time I've known him, he did that. But I learned a lesson from that, because that's what we as Christians do. We wait till something happens, then we try to take care of it. But God believes in prevention. He knew I was going to be a sinner. He knew I needed help, and he provided that help long, long ago. You follow that logic? Whether you're 5 years old or 95 years old, I don't care what your problem is, your answer is Jesus. And the closer you get to Jesus, the more problems you might have. You know, you don't let the problems control you. You let your relationship with God do that. Those things which we have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I think that was a message that Paul had to the church at Philippi. Paul could have gave up. I mean, I don't know any character in the Word of God that had more trouble than the Apostle Paul. But he never gave up. When we give up, we are admitting, I don't serve the God that saved me. If he saved me, that means he sent his son to die on the cross for me. Now, if he's willing to sacrifice his son so that I may live, he cares about me. So, those things that we have both learned and received and heard and seen, he said, let the God of peace shall be with you. Peace or tranquility is precise, the enjoyment of prosperity. Peace or tranquility precedes the enjoyment of prosperity. Because I know some people that's worth a lot of money, and they're the miserable people I've ever seen. Is it wrong to have money? Of course not. Is it wrong to save some money? No, of course not. But your joy is in the Lord. It's in your relationship with the Lord. And as we prepare to close this morning, you know, God said in Acts 9:31, he said, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit were multiplied. You know, when we're walking in the Lord, we simply do not want to get involved in certain things. And on your own, you can read Jeremiah 29:1-7. You know, any loss of peace is followed by adjustment to the plan of God. Any loss of peace, we need to understand when we lose our peace, we've also got a weak relationship with the one of peace. He is the God of peace. So, I believe personally, and this is my opinion, I don't know whether I could prove it or not, I believe I could, but we have a lot of problems because we won't take our problems to the Lord and ask him to lead us in the Word of God where we can find out the answer. As we close this morning, turn to the book of James, book of James chapter 3, beginning with verse 13, God said, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation. And that means way of life. Way of life. I don't intend, and I would advise you not to follow anybody that talks the talk but don't walk the walk. And I got proof of it because if you study, get your Young's Concordance or Strong's, was there one you got? You know, and look up what God said here. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. Let him show how his way of life with works and meekness of wisdom. We say, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, they're a wise, wise person. But you see the walk a lot different than what the talk is. God said, don't follow that person. Don't put a lot of trust in that person because that person has left circumstances to control his faith. And as we close, it said, but if ye have bitter envy and strive in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strive is, notice, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, and is easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Father, we thank you for this study, and as we go deeper,